Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse.
We didn't talk about that, but we have a good relationship. You know, we were texting the other day about the award, and he's got nothing but positive thoughts about the organization. We have nothing but positive thoughts about him. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good relationship.
That's Cubs General Manager Jed Hoyer, Cubs President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer, talking about Cody Bellinger and their relationship. Belly's one season here in Chicago. He's one of the largest free agents left out there. To talk free agency, what better than to talk to the biggest agent in the game? We do that now on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois.
A guy that I've known for over 30 years, maybe not the baseball star that he thought he would be, but has starred in the agent business for 35 years. My friend Scott Boris joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Scott, thanks for taking some time out on a Saturday morning to join me and Mike. And I guess we can start with the many free agents that you have out there and the timetable for some of their signings, which is, I know, impossible to answer. But first of all, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. Thanks for taking some time out. How are you today?
Hi, Bruce, Mike. It's great to talk to you. On Saturdays, it's a little bit of the allevance from the 14 hours on the phone all day. I'm glad that we get to talk some baseball.
As far as, you know, Cody Bellinger goes, you have the premier free agent position player out there on the marketplace. You have a lot of other good players. You have the reigning Cy Young Award winner in the National League as well out there. But when people on that call our show, our fan base, the people in Chicago want to know, is he coming back to Chicago? What is it going to take to sign a Cody Bellinger this offseason?
Well, I'm sure, Bruce, that, you know, the Chicago fans understand that, you know, who are the Cubs with Cody and who are the Cubs without them? And, you know, when you play in a market that you actually get to answer that question by the performance of the player, you can really determine what he means to a specific franchise and their probability of winning and what it would be like without him being there. In this marketplace, when you have 28 and under year old free agents that are available, it just doesn't happen very often. In a decade, it may happen, you know, that you might have six or seven of these players that at that age that would be available. And then you add that they've won MVPs. You add that they've been in the top 10 MVP voting three times, including his platform season in Chicago. You start to look and say, who has those qualifications and who's that young? And what have those players done who've done that since then? And you have to understand that Ohtani, Bryce Harper, Corey Seager, all these guys, Corey Seager hasn't won an MVP, but he's been in the top 10 in voting multiple times. They have actually gotten better after the age of 28, and they've turned out to be, you know, franchise players for their specific teams. And all of this you know, obviously every major league team knows this, every owner knows this, and they know that these players are something that once you captivate them, this is how you potentiate winning. And Cody's already won a world championship, and he's already played in a World Series. So he has the full complement of age, MVP performance, and championship-level play experience, demonstrated that, you know, he's a great postseason performer. So you're getting a resume that is, frankly, rare to have access to. And so when you're asking me where do these players end up, it's highly competitive, and it's just something where ownership has to really embrace it and do their best to achieve a level of competition to acquire the player.
Talking to Scott Boras, baseball agent and longtime power player in the game. And Scott, talking about Belly, and we played the cut from Jed Hoyer coming in. He says, you know, the relationship is great. We saw it here last year. We heard some very good things from Belly as the season wound down about how much he enjoyed the year in Chicago, and certainly a rebirth from him after a few tough years with injury. When you talk about the resume, that's certainly there. He was an MVP. A lot of fans worried that the injury concern was not the only reason that he struggled, but he certainly seemed to prove that last year, that when healthy, he's still an elite player in this game. How do you judge that based on some of that commentary that we're getting?
You know, you always have to reflect that every time you have a great player, young player, who's had injury. Bryce Harper was injured multiple times after he won an MVP. He had like a 1.8 WAR, which is well below standards of a star player. You know, it was a 5 WAR player. So, does that minimize his productivity going forward? And the answer is clearly the evidence shows it does not. And that was in his platform year. Corey Seager had major hip surgery. He had Tommy John surgery. He had a couple years in his career where he did not he was hurt, did not play. Cody tried to play even though he was hurt because he could make a defensive contribution for his team. So these kinds of things where you're going to have elements of injury, malperformance by great young talents is not unusual. But the key thing is that when, and even in Cody's case, and Corey Seager got hurt his platform year before he was a free agent, he only played 90 games. And Cody played in the full season. So these things are dynamics that the evidence of it is that when you have MVP skills and you've won that award at a young age and you've continued to get top 10 voting 3 out of your first 6 years, that resume has a very clear and strong evidence that you're going to be a great player going forward and for a long time.
Scott, you might as well move back to Chicago. I remember you telling me years ago that you had a condo here and you kept it here. But with players like Chapman and Hoskins, you might as well just go to lunch every day with the front office, including Jed Hoyer, rather than just spend 14 hours on the telephone. You have Hoskins they could use. You have Chapman they could use. You certainly have Bellinger that they could use. Realistically, you've had to spend a lot of time talking to the Chicago Cubs.
You know, in the process, how free agency works, you know, and it's not like the Chicago Cubs couldn't use Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery either, you know. But right. you have this, you know, when you have talent like this that is, you know, something that is really outcome determinative of how a club's going to move forward. Because if you don't get these talents and somebody else does, particularly those, you know, the element, you've got to make sure that you can illustrate to your fan base that you want to win. And if you don't get these players, they're not going to be available in the next free agent market. And then you try to mitigate that by trading for lesser players. And most of the players you're trading for, teams aren't giving away young two-way players. And in this marketplace, particularly in the offensive category, there is not a lot of offense that's available for two-way players to really allow your club not only to sustain where they were a year ago, but actually improve and get better. And that's the hard part for the Cubs, because obviously Cody got them to this level, and they need even more than that to advance to higher levels to win their division and to really advance deep into the playoffs. So these are competitive times. Ownership has to support, you know, the executives of their teams and their pursuits. And what you find is that many of them don't, and those that do, I think, get rewarded for it. I know with Texas, you know, we had to go, and the ownership there, Ray went in and spent $500 million to get Seager and Simeon. Because I told them, I represent both of them, that both of them wanted to win, and the pursuit of them, really, they wanted to know that they were going to add those level of talents to that team. And then we got Josh Jung there through the draft that we represent, and then Jordan Montgomery and Scherzer were added, and boom, they won a ring. Those are five major players that they added in basically about a 2.5 to 3 year period that resulted in a championship. So that type of ownership conduct is needed to reverse the standard of losing to winning.
Talking to Scott Boras here on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito with you on your Saturday morning. Scott, you mentioned Hoskins, and Bruce brought him up. I know Cubs fans are very interested in him. What can you tell us health-wise about him? Obviously, he was out with injury this year, but is looking for a quick bounce back.
Yeah, he had a knee operation. I don't want to say for a guy who had three of them. I none of them are Sam, but he had a knee operation. He was fine. He came back, and actually, he was going to potentially be added to the World Series roster of the Phillies if they kept advancing. So he really got back to a playing mark and is pretty much ready to go for the 24 season.
Scott, when you look at the Glasnow trade and then the trade and sign, how as an agent and as a baseball fan, if you can separate yourself from that, I know it's difficult, but I know you're a huge baseball fan first. Why aren't more of these deals done where players are asked to talk to the other team before a deal's made and then they step forward and accept a new contract? I can only think of a couple that have been done in the last 15 or 20 years.
Well, essentially, you're using the currency of a player right to advance a trade. And that usually is something that is not in the best interest of the player. For example, a player is a free agent a year from now where you can negotiate with 30 teams. Now you're saying to the player, in this trade, you get to negotiate with one. So that unilateral value is not something that is in the best interest of the player, because you obviously want to know what the demand is from the other 29 teams. So I've never done one like that. I've never found a situation where it's served the best interest of my client when proposed. But that's not to say that it's not something that you could look at if you found that, but great young pitching and free agency is something that's a catalyst for a truer evaluation, I would suggest, Bruce, is why they're rarely, if ever, done.
Yeah. Well, I would just assert that in this case, it's an injured pitcher that had never pitched more than 21 starts or 121 innings, and to give a five-year contract at a good amount of money, maybe not what his talent says he could earn down the line, would be you know, an interesting way of approaching it. But I certainly understand what you're saying, Scott, and it makes a hell of a lot of sense. I just wanted to ask you before we close out with you, and Mike and I really appreciate your time today. When you look at your career, and I think I've asked you this question maybe at the GM meetings, and you run a $100 million corporation, you know, you're considered to be the top of your industry at what you do. You're an important person in baseball and have been for decades. What gets you motivated every day? What drives you to get up and continue to do it every day with the enthusiasm that you continue to have?
You know, when I was playing and I got traded from the Cardinals to the Cubs, and was in the Cub organization, and a gentleman named Bob Kennedy was the general manager, and he was my farm director in St. Louis, and he traded for me. And he said that, you know, I was a pretty good hitter in the minor leagues, and he just said, look, you know, we want you to come to this organization, and we want you to really be a part of what we're going to do. And then boom, you have a knee operation, then you have another one, and you're sitting in a hospital bed crying your eyes out. And I had a medical background, where I had a pharmacology degree, and then I went into law and ended up working for a law firm in the Loop, right in Chicago, and living in Chicago. And my teammates kept reaching out to me, you know, Keith Hernandez and Bill Conn, one of those types. And I found that waking up every morning with a knot in your stomach, knowing that you're caring for an individual player and you get to work inside the game, it was something you never tire of. It's something you're passionate about. And it was very different than working for corporations. It's kind of what I wanted to do. So for me, the privilege of being associated with the game, staying in the game that you love, and also working for players individually, it is at times, you know, it's a very, very stressful obligation, a challenging one, but it's something that keeps you in a circle of passion for a game you love. And so for me, it's really an honor to do it. And I plan on, you know, hopefully putting in another 30 years of doing this, and I never tire of it. And it's fun to really be privileged to be working with these men day in, day out.
Well, I've enjoyed our relationship and the shows that you and I have helped put on over at the general managers meetings, where I interrupt you, especially in the middle of one of your jokes or one of your analogies. And
we try to bring a little bit of fun to this. And I know there's these things are rather stupidly crafted, and the timing of this roof, we got to make sure that we work on that so that I can have my pauses and so we can deliver it correctly.
Yeah, it looked like you wanted to belt me a couple of times, you know, and I figure, you know, we could probably promote that match somewhere and do a pay-per-view at some time down the road. But Scott, seriously, thanks for taking some time out. Please get Cody Bellinger to sign here with the Chicago Cubs soon so the fans can have a great Christmas and New Year. Again, Mike and I, thank you so much. Have a great holiday season, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Well, as far as Cody goes, Bruce, I think you know that he really enjoyed the city of Chicago, enjoyed being a Cub, and always these decisions really, really tender on the idea that, you know, how competitive that ownership wants to be to acquire the best players. And I hope for all of Chicago that, you know, the Cubs are meet the competitive nature of the league to compete for the best players and have a good team for them.
Thanks again, Scott. Great holiday season. Take care.
Take care, Bruce, Mike.
All right, that's Scott Boras. You heard it right there from the horse's mouth, Bruce. At the end there, talking about Belly, and I like how you did that. That would certainly make for a Merry Christmas for Cubs fans, but we'll see how that plays out.
We have people to thank, including Sean Sears, our great producer. We also have so many guests. You know, you're going to have to remind me. We probably set a record for guests and Inside the Clubhouse today. So
I think ahead, we did, Mike. Yeah. Yeah, Scott Boras, of course. We just talked to him. Jerry Hairston Jr. from Dodgers Pre and Post. Brian Bannister, the White Sox Director of Pitching. And Jared Banner, the Assistant General Manager of your Chicago Cubs. All joined us today. We thank all of them.
And we thank our great fans out there that listen every week. You can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on my website, on our website, rather, 670thescore.com. Mike, have a great week. It was a great show. Look forward to the pre-Christmas show that we do next week on Saturday.
Absolutely. It will be great to be back with you next week. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, you'll be able to hear Vikings and Bengals in the first game of today's NFL triple header. Coverage starts at 11:30, kickoff at noon, right here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Thanks to all of you for listening, and thanks to our callers and texters as well. Inside the Clubhouse again next Saturday, but coming up next, NFL football, Vikings and Bengals, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse.
We didn't talk about that, but we have a good relationship. You know, we were texting the other day about his award, and he's got nothing but positive thoughts about the organization. We have nothing but positive thoughts about him. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good relationship.
That's Cubs General Manager Jed Hoyer, Cubs President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer, talking about Cody Bellinger and their relationship. Belly's one season here in Chicago. He's one of the largest free agents left out there. To talk free agency, what better than to talk to the biggest agent in the game? We do that now on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois.
A guy that I've known for over 30 years, maybe not the baseball star that he thought he would be, but has starred in the agent business for 35 years. My friend Scott Boras joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Scott, thanks for taking some time out on a Saturday morning to join me and Mike. And I guess we can start with the many free agents that you have out there and the timetable for some of their signings, which is, I know, impossible to answer. But first of all, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. Thanks for taking some time out. How are you today?
Hi, Bruce, Mike. It's great to talk to you on Saturdays. It's a little bit of the alleviance from the 14 hours on the phone all day, I'm glad that we get to talk some baseball.
As far as, you know, Cody Bellinger goes, you have the premier free agent position player out there on the marketplace. You have a lot of other good players. You have the reigning Cy Young Award winner in the National League as well out there. But when people on that call our show, our fan base, the people in Chicago want to know, is he coming back to Chicago? What is it going to take to sign a Cody Bellinger this offseason?
Well, I'm sure, Bruce, that, you know, the Chicago fans understand that you know, who are the Cubs with Cody and who are the Cubs without them? And, you know, when you play in a market that you actually get to answer that question by the performance of the player, you can really determine what he means to a specific franchise and their probability of winning and what it would be like without him being there. In this marketplace, when you have 28 and under-year-old free agents that are available, it just doesn't happen very often. In a decade, it may happen, you know, that you might have six or seven of these players that at that age that would be available. And then you add that they've won MVPs. You've add that they've been in the top 10 MVP voting three times, including his platform season in Chicago. You start to look and say, who has those qualifications and who's that young? And what have those players done who've done that since then? And you have to understand that Ohtani, Bryce Harper, Corey Seager, all these guys, Corey Seager hasn't won an MVP, but he's been in the top 10 in voting multiple times. They have actually gotten better after the age of 28, and they've turned out to be, you know, franchise players for their specific teams. And all of this, you know, obviously every major league team knows this, every owner knows this, and they know that these players are something that once you captivate them, this is how you potentiate winning. And Cody's already won a world championship, and he's already played in a World Series. So he has the full complement of age, MVP performance, and championship-level play experience, demonstrated that, you know, he's a great postseason performer. So you're getting a resume that is, frankly, rare to have access to. And so when you're asking me where do these players end up, it's highly competitive, and it's just something where ownership has to really embrace it and do their best to achieve the level of competition to acquire the player.
Talking to Scott Boras, baseball agent and longtime power player in the game. And Scott, talking about Belly, and we played the cut from Jed Hoyer coming in. He says, you know, the relationship is great. We saw it here last year. We heard some very good things from Belly as the season wound down about how much he enjoyed the year in Chicago, and certainly a rebirth from him after a few tough years with injury. When you talk about the resume, that's certainly there. He was an MVP. A lot of fans worried that the injury concern was not the only reason that he struggled, but he certainly seemed to prove that last year, that when healthy, he's still an elite player in this game. How do you judge that based on some of that commentary that we're getting?
You know, you always have to reflect that every time you have a great player, young player, who's had injury. Bryce Harper was injured multiple times after he won an MVP. He had like a 1.8 WAR, which is well below standards of a star player. You know, it was a 5 WAR player. So, does that minimize his productivity going forward? And the answer is clearly the evidence shows it does not. And that was in his platform year. Corey Seager had major hip surgery. He had Tommy John surgery. He had a couple years in his career where he did not he was hurt, did not play. Cody tried to play even though he was hurt because he could make a defensive contribution for his team. So these kinds of things where you're going to have elements of injury, malperformance by great young talents is not unusual. But the key thing is that when, and even in Cody's case, and Corey Seager got hurt his platform year before he was a free agent, he only played 90 games. And Cody played in a full season. So these things are dynamics that the evidence of it is that when you have MVP skills and you've won that award at a young age and you've continued to get top 10 voting three out of your first 6 years. That resume has a very clear and strong evidence that you're going to be a great player going forward and for a long time.
Scott, you might as well move back to Chicago. I remember you telling me years ago that you had a condo here and you kept it here. But with players like Chapman and Hoskins, you might as well just go to lunch every day with the front office, including Jed Hoyer, rather than just spend 14 hours on the telephone. You have Hoskins they could use. You have Chapman they could use. You certainly have Bellinger that they could use. Realistically, you've had to spend a lot of time talking to the Chicago Cubs.
You know, in the process, how free agency works, you know, and it's not like the Chicago Cubs couldn't use Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery either, you know. But right. you have this, you know, when you have talent like this, that is, you know, something that is really outcome determinative of how a club's going to move forward. Because if you don't get these talents and somebody else does, particularly those, you know, the element, you've got to make sure that you can illustrate to your fan base that you want to win. And if you don't get these players, they're not going to be available in the next free agent market. And then you try to mitigate that by trading for lesser players. And most of the players you're trading for, teams aren't giving away young two-way players. And in this marketplace, particularly in the offensive category, there is not a lot of offense that's available for two-way players to really allow your club not only to sustain where they were a year ago, but actually improve and get better. And that's the hard part for the Cubs, because obviously Cody got them to this level and they need even more than that to advance to higher levels to win their division and to really advance deep into the playoffs. So these are competitive times. Ownership has to support, you know, the executives of their teams and their pursuits. And what you find is that many of them don't, and those that do, I think, get rewarded for it. I know with Texas, you know, we had to go, and the ownership there, Ray went in and spent $500 million to get Seager and Simeon. Because I told them, I represent both of them, that both of them wanted to win, and the pursuit of them, really, they wanted to know that they were going to add those level of talents to that team. And then we got Josh Jung there through the draft that we represent, and then Jordan Montgomery and Scherzer were added, and boom, they won a ring. Those are five major players that they added in basically about a 2.5 to 3 year period that resulted in a championship. So that type of ownership conduct is needed to reverse the standard of losing to winning.
Talking to Scott Boras here on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito with you on your Saturday morning. Scott, you mentioned Hoskins, and Bruce brought him up. I know Cubs fans are very interested in him. What can you tell us health-wise about him? Obviously, he was out with injury this year, but is looking for a quick bounce back.
Yeah, he had a knee operation. I don't want to say for a guy who had three of them. None of them are Sam, but he had a knee operation. He was fine. He came back, and actually, he was going to potentially be added to the World Series roster of the Phillies if they kept advancing. So he really got back to a playing mark and is pretty much ready to go for the 24 season.
Scott, when you look at the Glasnow trade and then the trade and sign, how as an agent and as a baseball fan, if you can separate yourself from that, I know it's difficult, but I know you're a huge baseball fan first. Why aren't more of these deals done where players are asked to talk to the other team before a deal's made and then they step forward and accept a new contract? I can only think of a couple that have been done in the last 15 or 20 years.
Well, essentially, you're using the currency of a player right to advance a trade. And that usually is something that is not in the best interest of the player. For example, a player is a free agent a year from now where you can negotiate with 30 teams. Now you're saying to the player, in this trade, you get to negotiate with one. So that unilateral value is not something that is in the best interest of the player, because you obviously want to know what the demand is from the other 29 teams. So I've never done one like that. I've never found a situation where it's served the best interest of my client when proposed. But that's not to say that it's not something that you could look at if you found that, but great young pitching and free agency is something that's a catalyst for a truer evaluation, I would suggest, Bruce, is why they're rarely, if ever, done.
Yeah. Well, I would just assert that in this case, it's an injured pitcher that had never pitched more than 21 starts or 121 innings, and to give a five-year contract at a good amount of money, maybe not what his talent says he could earn down the line, would be, you know, an interesting way of approaching it. But I certainly understand what you're saying, Scott, and it makes a hell of a lot of sense. I just wanted to ask you before we close out with you, and Mike and I really appreciate your time today. When you look at your career, and I think I've asked you this question maybe at the GM meetings, and you run a $100 million corporation, you know, you're considered to be the top of your industry at what you do. You're an important person in baseball and have been for decades. What gets you motivated every day? What drives you to get up and continue to do it every day with the enthusiasm that you continue to have?
You know, when I was playing and I got traded from the Cardinals to the Cubs, and was in the Cub organization, and a gentleman named Bob Kennedy was the general manager, and he was my farm director in St. Louis, and he traded for me. And he said that, you know, and I was a pretty good hitter in the minor leagues, and he just said, look, you know, we want you to come to this organization, and we want you to really be a part of what we're going to do. And then boom, you have a knee operation, then you have another one, and you're sitting in a hospital bed crying your eyes out. And I had a medical background, where I had a pharmacology degree, and then I went into law and ended up working for a law firm in the Loop, right in Chicago, and living in Chicago. And my teammates kept reaching out to me, you know, Keith Hernandez and Bill Connell and those types. And I found that waking up every morning with a knot in your stomach, knowing that you're caring for an individual player and you get to work inside the game, it was something you never tire of. It's something you're passionate about. And it was very different than working for corporations. It's kind of what I wanted to do. So for me, the privilege of being associated with the game, staying in the game that you love, and also working for players individually. It is at times, you know, it's a very, very stressful obligation, a challenging one, but it's something that keeps you in a circle of passion for a game you love. And so for me, it's really an honor to do it. I plan on, you know, hopefully putting in another 30 years of doing this, and I never tire of it. And it's fun to really be, and really privileged to be working with these men day in, day out.
Well, I've enjoyed our relationship and the shows that you and I have helped put on over at the general managers meetings, where I interrupt you especially in the middle of one of your jokes or one of your analogies, and
we try to bring a little bit of fun to this, and I know there's these things are rather stupidly crafted, and the timing of this proof, we got to make sure that we work on that so that I can have my pauses and so we can deliver it correctly.
Yeah, it looked like you wanted to belt me a couple of times, you know, and I figure, you know, we could probably promote that match somewhere and do a pay-per-view at some time down the road. But, Scott, seriously, thanks for taking some time out. Please get Cody Bellinger to sign here with the Chicago Cubs soon so the fans can have a great Christmas and New Year. Again, Mike and I, thank you so much. Have a great holiday season, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Well, as far as Cody goes, Bruce, I think you know that he really enjoyed the city of Chicago, enjoyed being a Cub, and always these decisions really, really tender on the idea that, you know, how competitive that ownership wants to be to acquire the best players. And I hope for all of Chicago that, you know, the Cubs are meet the competitive nature of the league to compete for the best players and have a good team for them.
Thanks again, Scott. Great holiday season. Take care.
Take care, Bruce, Mike.
All right, that's Scott Boras. You heard it right there from the horse's mouth, Bruce, at the end there, talking about Belly, and I like how you did that. That would certainly make for a Merry Christmas for Cubs fans, but we'll see how that plays out.
We have people to thank, including Sean Sears, our great producer. We also have so many guests. You know, you're going to have to remind me. We probably set a record for guests and Inside the Clubhouse today. So
I think we did. Mike. Yeah, Scott Boras, of course. We just talked to him. Jerry Hairston Jr. from Dodgers Pre and Post. Brian Bannister, the White Sox Director of Pitching. And Jared Banner, the Assistant General Manager of your Chicago Cubs. All joined us today. We thank all of them.
And we thank our great fans out there that listen every week. You can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com. Mike, have a great week. It was a great show. Look forward to the pre-Christmas show that we do next week on Saturday.
Absolutely. It will be great to be back with you next week. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, you'll be able to hear Vikings and Bengals in the first game of today's NFL triple header. Coverage starts at 11:30, kickoff at noon, right here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Thanks to all of you for listening, and thanks to our callers and texters as well. Inside the Clubhouse again next Saturday, but coming up next, NFL football, Vikings and Bengals here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.